Chicago trial attorney Karen Conti joins us now with legal briefs. Karen, good morning. Let's talk first about the Donald Trump hush money case that was before the court yesterday. What next?
Well, it was interesting. The prosecution actually asked that the judge pause his ruling on whether or not the case should be dismissed based upon that Supreme Court ruling that said that the president is immune when he does official acts. And it was interesting that the prosecution asked for that. And I thought that was a kind of a thoughtful thing to do because I think there is some concern whether you like these charges or not, whether you're politically aligned with one candidate or another. You do have to think about what would happen if we sentence a person to prison and he is the president and he can't transact his business on behalf of the country. And so that's a concern that the judge wants to take into account when he issues his next rulings on not only that dismissal, but the sentencing for that those crimes.
Unprecedented is a word we use a lot these days. Isn't this about the recent Supreme Court ruling?
Yeah, the idea is the defense is saying that those 34 felonies of which he was convicted should be erased because of the Supreme Court decision. But that decision said the president has immunity for official acts, which means things he does in the course of being president. And so I'm looking at this, and I don't see that the allegations and the facts here had anything to do with his official acts. They were before he was president. He was, you know, hiding the idea that he paid money to Stormy Daniels. And that was all to keep it away from the electorate. It wasn't because he was president. So I don't know that he's going to win on that. But again, I don't know that this judge is going to come down really hard on him when it comes to sentencing, just because of the logistics, putting him in prison and stopping him from doing his job.
Let's talk about the president-elect's proposal to expand the federal death penalty. What exactly is this proposal? And would this create a new law?
Well, you know, the death penalty is only available for certain crimes, according to the Supreme Court, and this is long-standing precedent. So a lot of people think that, you know, that child molestation or kidnapping or something like that is subject to the death penalty. It isn't. It's only murder, okay? And it has to be a certain type of murder that's aggravated, and the states have different laws about that. But what President-elect Trump is saying is he's trying to actually add and expand the death penalty to child rapists, to migrants who do certain things, people convicted of drug crimes and human trafficking. And while all those things are really bad crimes, the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that you can't use the death penalty for those. So what he's proposing would have to go up to the U.S. Supreme Court and have a whole new ruling on whether or not it's constitutional.
The defendant in the Delphi murder case was convicted. Will there be an appeal here?
Yeah, this is an interesting case because a lot of the pundits and the internet sleuths were predicting at least a hung jury, if not an acquittal, because there really wasn't a whole lot of evidence tying this guy to the crime scene. No forensics, no fingerprints, no DNA, and the timeline for the prosecution didn't make much sense. I think there will be an appeal, but appeals are really not a re-look at the whole case. It's really, did the judge make errors in letting evidence in and the like? But you know, with all of the spotlight on this case from all the people who are looking at this, my guess is that the spotlight is going to be kept on this case. And if there's new evidence, that might help this guy. But otherwise, you know, it's going to proceed as usual, and it will probably be affirmed.
That's interesting. Karen, talk a little bit about how in cases like this, when you have so much public opinion, how does it affect the actual case, or does it really in the end?
I think it really does. I think that when you're an appellate justice, you know, you're supposed to be fair, of course, to all cases, and you're supposed to give special attention to everything that comes before you. But how could you not give a case that has so much notoriety, international attention? How could you not give that more attention? And because so many people are saying this guy, you know, couldn't have done it because X, Y, and Z, the justices are going to have their antenna up, right? And they're going to look at this with a fine-tooth comb. And they might see something that they wouldn't ordinarily see just because of the attention that's been brought to it.
Yesterday, Louisiana's Ten Commandments law in public schools was blocked by a federal judge. So, Karen, is this going to end up going to the Supreme Court?
I'm sure it will. And we talked about this earlier when the law was passed and it was initially challenged. But this is longstanding precedent from the U.S. Supreme Court. That's a separation of church and state problem under the First Amendment. You putting up Ten Commandments, while people might think that's great, it is a violation of the Constitution, and it's been so for 45 years. You know, interestingly, another state, Oklahoma, just passed a law requiring Bibles to be in every classroom and that the schools teach Bible studies. Well, you know, as much as you might like your religion, that is a clear separation of church and state. And again, all of these things are going to be challenged, and they're going to go up to the U.S. Supreme Court with the hopes that our now conservative U.S. Supreme Court might very well reverse some of these things. I doubt they will. They shouldn't. But you never know these days.
So that law Louisiana passed said that all state-funded schools are required to display the biblical Ten Commandments. Was that the law?
Yes, that was the law. And the argument, which has been made for 45 years, is that, of course, is a religious teaching. It's not a historical teaching, and it doesn't apply to all religions, and therefore it's a violation of the separation of church and state clause under the First Amendment.
More to come on that, I'm sure. Karen Conti, thank you. Always interesting. Have a good day.
You too.